Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dick?
Well, Matt, this polarization between the two parties in this country, I'm wondering what you think about this statement. You got this extreme right, extreme left. No one seems to be able to come to any consensus on anything. And it's now affected something that it never even used to affect, in my opinion, not too much anyway, is foreign policy. We used to always speak as one. And this has got Biden in kind of a box. I think he would be more forceful but on the situation in the Middle East. But, you know, he's got a real precarious situation to walk through with this. You know, even in some of the toughest times we went through, we always kind of spoke as one when it came to foreign policy. And he's kind of tiptoeing around the situation where I think there should be sanctions on Israel for some of this. It's going to, and heaven forbid if the last guy was still in power, he would have been fanning the flames of a guy like Netanyahu. As you know, I think he's the main culprit in this whole thing. And I just don't see anything good until he's out of power. And I think he's going to hang on to power. And you're going to have this kind of thing flaming up from time to time, all the time, as long as he's involved.
That's interesting. Yeah, let me respond to that. Important point, very important point. Your first point is that we used to speak as one, as foreign policy is exactly right. That's historically accurate. That's exactly what we did. There was an unwritten rule, wasn't a statute, but it said that when any leader of either party left the United States, he did not or she did not criticize the administration, even if it was the opposing party, on anything on foreign policy. And we spoke as one. So there were a lot of times during the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s where Republicans wouldn't agree with Democrats, Democrats wouldn't agree with Republicans. But if they went to Europe, they went to Asia, went to South America, went to Africa, they spoke with one voice. They didn't run down their own country. And when you say running down your own country, if you run down the administration abroad, you're in effect running down your own country. That changed starting with Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich was a very bad guy. He was the speaker for a while. He was a congressman from Georgia. And he invented scorched earth politics. Degrade the other side. All that matters is degrade them, negative them, and take power back. That's all it was. Hurt the United States if you needed to. That extended to foreign policy. And so Clinton, frankly, was one of the best presidents in our history, in my view, Bill Clinton, certainly one of the best in the 20th century. He's the one that achieved the Irish Peace Accords, the Good Friday Accords, that restored peace to Northern Ireland and is held even till today. The Middle East Peace Accords, he brokered a very, very good Middle East peace agreement. In the Balkans, between Serbia and Bosnia, between Muslims and Eastern Orthodox, Croatia, he calmed that down. He calmed it down. Great in foreign policy, but he was continually attacked on foreign policy by Republicans. And people nowadays have heard so much criticism of Bill Clinton that they think there was something there. There wasn't anything there at all. Obviously, Roosevelt was preeminent in the 20th century, Lincoln in the 19th century, and our George Washington, our first president. But Clinton is certainly in the top 10. I mean, he was a great president. Now, when it comes to what's happening now, Biden, I suppose, is somewhat constrained. But I'd look at it this way, Dick. There's a difference between internal Israeli politics and Israel itself and support for Israel. Netanyahu is opposed by a lot of Israelis. In fact, he can't get a majority of the Knesset to essentially make him prime minister again. He has to negotiate with some of the minority parties, and they are starting to say, you've been there a long time, Jack, how about getting out? That's internal politics. That has nothing to do with what the price of tea in China. I mean, that has nothing to do with Israel itself and all that. That's democracy. Democracy. Netanyahu was a well-regarded over there. His brother, by the way, was killed. He was the leader of the expedition at Entebbe in Uganda, remember? A long time ago when an airline was hijacked and commandos went in to free the people. And his brother, Netanyahu's brother, I think it was his brother, was the commanding officer and he was shot. So Netanyahu has a long history in Israel. But the fact is that, it can be time for a change. No question about that. No question about that. But if you look at the underlying dispute, you know, about sanctions, here's the background on that dispute. It has been festering a long time, so it's inevitably going to crop up. But, you know, you have this area around Jerusalem that's very sacred to Muslims, Jews, and Christians. And Christians tend not to make as big a deal of it. But some Muslim kids, you know, the kids, I get it, you know, were harassing people at a synagogue, then people at the synagogue harassing people at a mosque, and stones are thrown. The Israeli police came. They reacted. They did not shoot people. They didn't kill people. They used tear gas, stun grenades, and rubber bullets. I'm not going to second guess crowd control if it's not lethal. But what happened was the meme got around that somehow they were interfering with worship in the mosque. Well, the fact of the matter is that people going after synagogue, people from the synagogue going at the mosque and all this, we got to stop that kind of stuff. My own view is maybe you alternate worship. And so one side worships and the others get out of there. And then the other one worships and the other one's out of there. But in any event, then what happens is there's some evictions from apartments. These apartments, Israelis bought, the predecessors of the Israelis bought that land from the Ottoman Empire in the 19th century. They paid for it. They have title to it. Jordan captured it in 1948. In 1967, Israel recaptured it. Israel and Jordan are now, they have good relations. They're allies in a lot of respects. So the question is, who owns it? Originally, the predecessors of the Israelis, Jordanians turned it over to Palestinians. Then Israel captured again. The Palestinians still live there, not paying rent. Somebody else owns it. So they were evicted. I personally think that was a mistake. And the Israeli courts agreed with me because they stopped it. But that's the flashpoint. And what happened is rockets are then sent from Gaza into Tel Aviv and other cities. You can't have a modern state in any state, which rockets are just sent into inhabited areas. I mean, you can't have a city that way. And this is before the bombing of Gaza by Israel. This is before it. And it comes in, and yeah, Iron Dome takes care of 90-some-odd% of the rockets. It doesn't take care of everyone. You can't go about business. You can't go down to your office and, oh, there's a rocket, so I won't go out for lunch or something. Come on. So Netanyahu responds. So some people would say he over-responded. Okay, let's have that discussion. But when you're talking about sanctions, there are good people in this thing in Israel who are trying to stop rockets, and there are people among the Palestinians who want freedom in their own state, and I agree with that. But Israel offered Yasser Arafat of the PLO 98% of what he wanted, and he didn't take it because he would have been assassinated. Jihadists in that community will kill anybody like Anwar Sadat or the governor of Punjab who makes peace. That cultural designation of the right to assassinate your own leaders if they make peace has got to be addressed, or you're not going to have peace over there. Going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.